From Texas, I like to say howdy. It's a good word. You don't get to work into conversation too often. It's Phil Parr coming into your homes again with another Blind Like Me. Our guest is Steve Bauer. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing very good. How about you, man?
I'm really couldn't be better. Things are going my way. It's a good day, pretty day, sun shining in Texas. You know, what do you expect?
That's right.
That's right. You're in Wichita, Kansas.
Absolutely.
Wichita, Kansas. Is that your... Where you've been all your life, or
as
you...
a matter of fact, born and raised here.
Really?
And I'm at the ripe old age of 52.
Yeah.
So this is where I be.
So that's a good age. I remember it pretty well. It's been a while ago, but I do have some vague recollection of it. You obviously from your voice, I think everybody could tell that you have done or do radio in some form.
That is true. I started when I was a little kid. My dad worked at Boeing, which is a big airplane manufacturing outfit. For a while, he was in their training department, and he would bring old equipment home. And I started playing with tape recorders when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
When I was a senior in high school, I went out to Wichita State University to their public radio station and began playing records, those black round things.
Yeah, back then we played records, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, so I played records there, and then when I went to college out there, I actually began doing some shows and continued doing programs and working at the station on a part-time basis until about the middle of my junior year when I made the leap to commercial radio, went to work for a small AM station here in town that had just flipped to country.
Uh-huh.
And I started out doing evenings and weekends, moved to middays, and then wound up afternoon drive was where I was on the air and did some sales work until management decided that they had a better idea. And they basically destroyed the station. It wound up being automated and then went disco.
Well, AM, you can't make money playing. So a guy said you can't make money playing music on AM anymore. Can't
not anymore.
Not anymore.
That was in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
And then, to make a long story short, in about 1989, some friends of mine that I knew from working at the station were talking to me, and they needed somebody to help them put severe weather information on the air. The part-timers and the weekenders just couldn't pull it off. And since I've had a ham radio license since 1972, for the ham radio people listening out there, I hold the extra class license with the call sign of W0QA.
W0QA.
Absolutely.
How does a guy get a call? Do they give you a shorter call when you get the
yes.
extra class?
Right. When you get to the extra class, you can get the shorter call signs.
W0QA. Well. But you actually worked afternoons at a radio station, did some sales, did production, did anything they wanted done.
Right, everything.
Was this in Wichita?
Yes, it was.
Full-time AM station?
No, it was, at that time, it was a daytimer.
Yeah.
So right. When the sun went down, we shut down.
They used to be daytimers. I loved them. Little daytimers. They were
yes.
They were put on the air after World War II to serve communities that didn't have radio in the daytime. So at night, you could hear all these big, powerful stations from Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. But in the daytime, there were places in this country, many places, where you couldn't hear any radio stations.
And we ran a whopping 250 watts during the day and 27 with pre-sunrise authority.
You had pre-sunrise authority to run 27 watts.
Right.
Well, that station would be worth nothing today. I mean, it would be a zero.
Now, there is a station in a small town just to the south of Wichita that I think their daytime power is 1,000 watts, but at night, one watt.
1 watt.
Why?
I've never figured out why the commission... They said when they changed the spacing and they added the extended band, they gave everybody nighttime. If you could always have nighttime, unless you were on somebody's clear channel, if you were willing to put up enough towers and protect the other people on your frequency. But they just gave everybody, all the little daytimers, nighttime at very low amounts of power, I guess, to just serve their... But I don't know how they figured it. There'll be 90 watts and 29 watts and 48 watts. And
very strange numbering. It makes no sense. You're right.
I think they just picked a number. I don't know. You know, they didn't send a guy down there with field strength meter and decide how far you were from the transmitter. Because used to it be you had to put so many millivolts over the center of town.
They probably used some fancy slide rule or something weird like that to come up with the numbers.
1 watt. Do these folks even bother staying on? They wouldn't.
They do stay on. I don't know why, but they do.
What, just for my edification, what frequency was this 250-watt daytimer you worked at?
900.
900. Which is a Mexican clear, I think.
I think
it's a Mexican clear channel. 900. Well, but you got to scratch the itch. You got to do what you wanted to, what you thought you wanted to do. And
that should do it, yes. Yeah. And after I got out of radio, after I left the little AM country station, and I did leave. I quit. I literally walked out the door.
Really?
After they made some changes because things just weren't going to work for me, and that was scary.
Time to leave.
And I tried to find another job in radio and other stations, but don't you know that there's a blind guy? There's no way we could leave you alone in a station at night or on the weekends. What would happen if there was a fire? There's no way. So it just didn't look like radio was going to work for me. So I wound up going to work for a bank.
You had sense enough to give up radio.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. Well, you never give it up. Once it gets in your blood, you couldn't give it up if you wanted to.
No, it's a terminal disease.
It is a terminal disease. Vaccinated with a phonograph needle is what they used to say back years ago.
That's why in 89 I went back into radio doing the severe weather for what started out just one FM, then they kept buying more, and they wound up having three or four FMs and two or three AMs and... I did that for 14 years, and on overnights and weekends, I was the weather guy. I went on and told about the severe thunderstorms and the tornadoes, and oftentimes was the anchor for severe weather coverage for these news talk stations.
Is that right? Where did you get your information? Where did you get your
from a variety of sources. Since I don't do it anymore, I don't mind talking about that. Of course, ham radio, that was a big one because of all of the weather tracking that goes on. NOAA weather radio, of course, was a solid source.
Yeah.
As the Internet moved in, it began to be a source, not a big one, but at least somewhat of a source. My wife, because she was giving me some visual observations from what was happening outside our windows.
Actual visual observations of the sky and the way things looked.
And then, of course, I stole any information I could from the local TV media and other sources like that.
And just anybody you possibly could. Did you write these or ad-lib these?
Ad-lib total.
Good evening, I'm Steve Bauer. West of Wichita is a thunderstorm moving east. You just ad-libbed it.
Right. I would take down enough information and write it in Braille, the bare basics, and then I would just go.
I love
it. The scariest time that it ever caught me was the fact that when we suddenly, unexpectedly had a tornado warning, and none of our other spotters were ready, I had to go almost 13 minutes without stopping because... You just could not take a chance in a tornado warning. You could stop, because if you stopped and said, we'll be back in a moment, listen to these commercials, and somebody tuned in for weather information and they heard commercials, they'd go to the guy across the street.
Yep.
So 13 minutes nonstop until we had somebody else in the field that I could throw it to catch my breath.
And you're doing this from your house on the phone?
Yes.
From your before we had all
we
the
used,
things we
have
now.
If you're familiar with the Comrex unit, I used one of those. So I had not quite studio quality sound over the phone line,
but better than the phone would be.
Yes.
Okay. But your present job is at the what was that? No, that's your computer, isn't it?
That's actually my cell phone starting to go at me.
I thought you were making sure you're recording. You're at the bank of the office in the bank now.
Yes, I am in my office.
There you are.
And to thumbnail the career at the bank, I started out in the bank card or credit card division doing a variety of projects, and they needed some help in the collection area. And because I could talk on the telephone and would sound halfway intelligent, they moved me into there, and I began collecting delinquent and overlimit Visa and MasterCard accounts and doing fraud investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for several years. Wound up also, because I like writing, starting an employee newsletter, which the bank did not have at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing both of those jobs, and then in the mid-80s, about 85, I moved full-time into the Human Resource Department, continuing the newsletter and some other tasks, basically a lot of things people didn't want to do.
Yeah, that you were good at.
Yeah. So we moved into that area. And then in about 1989, they formed a committee to evaluate the bank phone system. And, of course, nobody wanted to chair the committee, but I saw the option as a challenge, because then all of a sudden I could do something cool with technology. So we moved into that area. I wound up being promoted into telecommunication manager and have administered the bank telephone system since 1990, when it went in.
Now, and so you've been at this bank actually for a good while. You've been there 17, 18 years now.
I've been here since 77.
Oh, okay. Really?
I'll be hitting the big 29 in October, 29 years here.
Let's get back to early, Steve. I guess you were born in 53, I figured.
Yes.
53, and you were born there in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes.
And they sent you to a Kansas school for the blind, or what did they do when you were a little boy?
What is the term? ROP, whatever that magic term is, they changed it. That's what I had. Too much oxygen. One eye, I had 20 over 200 with correction.
Uh-huh.
So I could ride a bicycle and get around fairly good during the day.
When you were small. But
I was small, right. I went to a regular public school from the get-go. And learned Braille when I was in the second grade, because my teacher at what they called then the sight-saving class that I was in.
Yeah.
I never understood that term, because I don't know how they saved your sight. They used it up, actually. But anyway, she was smart enough to realize I was putting more effort into seeing what was on the paper than I was in learning. And so my parents were receptive, and I learned Braille. And starting in the third grade, Braille was my main source of reading.
Mm-hmm.
Third grade was a real challenge. But once I got past that, things went real well. My vision stayed fairly solid until I was in college, and then it was starting to fade out, and I had the option of doing nothing and let it fade, or I could do some surgery and possibly remove the scar tissue in there and save what I had. And
possibly end up totally blind.
And that's where I wound up.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done so many people like that. I mean, you thought this was going to help, and it could have gone either way, and it went the wrong way. But you were going to be totally blind anyway.
Yes, because it had faded to the point where I could no longer read print with magnification.
Yeah.
And so it was going. So it was either save what I had or just make the leap and be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other situation.
Give them a chance to try to save your vision. And
right.
So you did the right thing, whether you thought so. I'm sure you've given it a lot of thought since then. But so you and this was what age? This was college. You're in college.
I was in
when
college.
You did this?
It was in the 75 when that happened.
But you were already doing Braille in college, and you were already doing the
Braille,
blind
Braille
thing.
Has been a very solid media of reading for me all through school. I learned to type when I was in the fifth grade, And that the teachers really thought that was cool, that a student could turn in a typewritten paper that they could actually read, because some of the handwriting, I guess, of these kids was pretty rough.
But, I guess was pretty bad.
But so I use those skills, and, of course, Braille today continues to be a very necessary tool of the trade.
Do you have siblings? You have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister, both younger than I.
And both they both see just fine?
They're both perfectly sighted, yes.
So you never spent a day in a blind school, always in public school?
The only time I went to the Kansas School for the Blind was they had, at that time when I was in junior high school age, they had a summer school program, and I'd go up there for 6 or 8 weeks to that. And but did that for 2 or 3 summers, but that has been it. I graduated from high school here in Wichita. I went to Wichita State University, graduated with a BS in the speech, obviously with radio TV as the emphasis area.
Sure.
And here I am.
And here you are. So, but the only disadvantage of that, as we've talked about all the time, is you never met any other blind people.
Well, there were a few other blind kids in the school system, so I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
So there were a few.
And you got to be home with your parents and your family.
Right.
Which has got to be better. Got to be much better. Got to be, you know, the way to go. If it's possible, that'd have to be the way to do it.
Yes. And
all right.
My mother, she learned, she actually became a certified Braille transcriptionist and really got into doing the Braille stuff. And so she was a big help to me. In fact, today, even she still uses a slate and stylus because she doesn't have a Braille writer anymore. But she will still Braille the cards on my Christmas gifts. So as we're sitting around opening presents, I know who the gift is from. And that is so cool.
Yeah, she puts it in Braille for you.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Parents can play such a major role in helping blind children, and that's one of our premises here, is that we need all the assistance we can get. We don't need sympathy; we need help. And your mother obviously pitched in and did it for you. So, but you fell in love with radio at an early age.
Yes, I did.
You listening to? Let's see, Wichita, Kansas. Do you have a 1330?
We have 1330 KFH. In fact, that was
KFH.
Well, no, they changed the call letters on me. It was KFH till they changed it and moved things around, and now it's KNSS. And that is one of the stations where I did the severe weather coverage on.
KFH. Well, they're good power. They're 50 kilowatts, aren't they? They
no,
run.
They're 5,000.
5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at some point in time, I caught them during the DXing days. I guess they were 1530, and we had a daytimer that signed off 1530, and I guess I heard them probably just before they changed the pattern at night, where you couldn't hear them. And so you they are doing news talk, obviously, now.
Yes.
And that's one of the stations you were on and doing the weather thing.
Yes, sir.
Now, this little 250-watt station that you worked at there is licensed to the city of Wichita?
Yes, it is. It's the transmitter is they're pretty well in the center of town, just west of the center of town.
So you can hear them. You cover the market fairly well.
Right, right.
With 250 watts, you can do that if you're right in.
It did pretty good during the daytime.
Yeah, and so you tuned around DX, listened to it. Of course, Matt, this was you were a kid. AM was still king.
AM was still king, and that's where the big disc jockeys were, and the top 40 radio was hot.
WLS.
Yeah, listened to them a lot. And locally here, we had the AM station on 1480 KLEO, the Clio Good Guys.
And they called it Clio.
Mm-hmm.
The Clio Top 40 and the Clio Survey. They called it
right.
Clio.
Yep. They did. And they had cool things like the Moonlight Swim, and they'd have all the girls, they'd put tape on their bodies in the shape of the call letters. And then so when they got their tan, then the call letters would show up white on their back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All kinds of fun things.
And they were the big top 40 in Wichita. All right. Well, we're a little late. Let's just take a little short break, and we'll get back to radio and other things, your college and what you did with jazz and the things you intend to do. We might even talk a little bit about digital radio if either one of us knew anything about it.
I know how to spell it.
I do, too, but that's about all I know. Back in a minute with more Herbline Like Me. Hang on.
Deepest ocean. Surely you want it back.
handyman list, sir?
The thing I like the best about the blind handyman list, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping their big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Bills himself as a jazz DJ, is our guest on Blind Like Me, and you did a stint with country, so you know country.
I did, and country was fun. When I went to work for the little AM country station, I didn't know anything about country. I just wanted to get a job in radio. So I learned a lot about country music. In 1976, when I married my first wife,
uh-huh.
In fact, she's still the only wife I have, one of the things that happened is one of the guys that worked for the radio station did tours to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and they gave my wife and I a couple seats on the bus for a week-long tour down to what was then called Fanfare.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we went down to Nashville, and, of course, Mike Hoyer was the guy that worked at the station.
Mike Hoyer was at WHO in Des Moines for a while.
Absolutely.
I remember Mike Hoyer.
And Mike and his wife, Betty. Mike is deceased now. But,
really?
Mike and Betty, they went on the bus, and we went down there. And, of course, Mike knew everybody in Nashville practically.
Yeah.
And got to meet so many of the stars, and it was just an absolute blast.
Now, did he work at your station there in Wichita?
Yes, he came here to Wichita for a couple of years, maybe not quite 2 years, maybe a year and a half or so. And it was a great, great experience. I learned so much from him.
Now, this was after the WHO days.
Yes. After he left Wichita, he decided he'd get out of radio, and he and Betty wound up going into managing Motel 6 properties.
Uh-huh.
And he moved around constantly there, too. But he wound up going back and doing some radio stuff in different cities and finally retiring up in the Minnesota area.
So you went to Nashville with him when he was at your station, and
right.
Yes, he knew by dint of the fact that he worked, because at one time, WHO in Des Moines, they were one of the only stations on at night playing country all night long.
That's
so
right.
he was a big deal then.
He was the midnight to six guy on WHO.
Yes, he was. 50,000-watt radio station, yeah. Hear it all over the nation, 1040. This was back in the 60s. And so, yes, he would know everybody that was anybody because everybody would want him to play their records. And so,
absolutely,
he was courted by the back then. Back then, it was all right if they bought your lunch and did nice things for you.
It was a real honor for me to get to not only a chance to work with him, but a chance to know him and spend time with him. And so, it was a fun time.
So that was your introduction to country music.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll be darned. And so you say that was your first wife and your only wife. You're still married to her?
Yes, I am.
And you got married in 76. Well, that's
76.
Good. 76. Fixing to be 30 years.
In May of this year.
Well, that's good. 30 years. All right. So you did that country. You fell in love with radio. This was after college. You had a degree at this time.
Right. Actually, the country started when I was a junior in college. And on my last three semesters, I don't know how I did this. I was working a full-time job at the radio station.
Yeah.
Taking an average of 14 hours per semester. And my wife, at that time, we were still just dating and engaged. She
yeah.
was my reader, and it was a very simple routine. Get up, go to class, go to the radio station, come home, study, and have her read to me, fall asleep, and get up and do it again.
Well, you did it because you wanted to. You were young and energetic, and you wanted to do radio, and you got a chance. And so,
that's right, I did.
I can remember going into radio station at 4:30 in the morning and still being there when we signed off at 6:30 that night. Many times, and I did it because I loved it, because that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in, just let me be in radio. God, please, you know.
And the one unique thing is there's one holiday I have never had to work in radio.
And that is?
Christmas.
Really?
Because at the little AM station, the manager of the station was a Jewish guy. We called him the Jewish cowboy. And one of the guys that he brought in that worked there for a while, and at that point, he started out doing afternoon drive, was also Jewish. So whenever Christmas came around, the Jewish cowboys took over the radio station, and the rest of us got it off.
The rest of you got to have Christmas off.
Yeah.
All right. But after you really only had two jobs, and it was that radio job and this bank job, right? Actually.
As would be, yes.
That's
really good. As far as employment.
Okay, but the bank job didn't get you out of radio. You continued to be involved. I think you said you even today do something on a radio station there, don't you?
Right. After the 14 years of doing the severe weather coverage on the
okay.
local news talk station, that ended rather suddenly when they got a contract with one of the TV stations to do their weather. And
yeah.
I was upset and hurt and angry. I decided to, my wife convinced me to just don't worry about it. Just take a few months off and don't worry about it. And I was at one of the other stations in town, just hanging around there with a friend of mine one day, and was talking to the program director, thinking maybe I could convince him that he needed some crazy guy like me to help them do severe weather coverage.
Or something.
Yeah. And I had been doing a smooth jazz show on ACB Radio Interactive that started in, 02? Something like that.
Yeah, whenever they started ACB Radio.
It had been on about a year before I started my show.
Yeah.
And I was doing that, and I was talking to the guy at this one station and about maybe doing some weather stuff for them, and that wasn't going nowhere. It was just a dead end. And I just made a wisecrack, because they had four stations, and one of them was a soft rock or adult contemporary, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I can do a jazz show for you. And he set his papers down, and he said, a jazz show? Talk to me. Within 5 minutes, we'd shook hands.
And this was a deal?
It was. And the very bizarre thing is, he didn't ask for an air check, nothing.
Well, he knew you'd been in radio. He
right.
knew
he had heard me doing weather stuff before, so he had heard me on the air, and we put the plans together. Like I say, in about 5 minutes, and approximately 3 weeks after that, my first Sunday jazz brunch went on the air on KRBB, which on the air goes by B98 FM.
But other than the time you're on there, soft rocker.
Right.
That was at one time, of course, now jazz is a format to be contended with. You can do jazz now and be in the top, you know, be in the top six or eight stations in your market.
A lot of soft rock stations do a Sunday jazz brunch or a
yes,
Saturday
right.
evening jazz show. And it mixes well, but the show is on 3 hours on Sunday morning, and it continues to be sold out every week. It just amazes me.
And you play what we call nowadays smooth jazz.
Right. I will mix in a little bit of traditional straight-ahead jazz, maybe a little bit of big band. If a consultant were to hear my show, they'd probably have a heart attack right in the floor in
really?
The studio and die. because you can hear anything on my show from Glenn Miller to Louis Armstrong all the way to Pat Metheny, anything in between.
Well, of course, consultants see it one way. I mean, they would play a song for a focus group, and if the focus group didn't like it, we wouldn't play that song anymore. And you don't have to do that. Nobody tells you what to play anything.
In fact,
isn't that great?
I pick all of the music on my show. Totally, 100% of the music I pick, and I play it from my computer on my show.
Hey, see, that's amazing. You're autonomous. How many disc jockeys in America say that? Very
Not
few.
Very many.
Not too many. You don't do it from home?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Absolutely.
How do you feed them?
Well, that's the sad part right now is that the show is not live.
Okay.
I record it and I burn them CDs and I send them to them. However, there is a little bit of a twist. I have a special telephone number, I call it the Smooth Jazz Line,
yes,
that I can forward into my studio at my house. During the week, I leave it forward to my voicemail at the radio station. But when I'm on the air, I forward it to my house. I take calls from listeners. I give away CDs, concert tickets, and take requests, although I can't play requests. And that's kind of a challenge to fib your way out of why you can't play their song right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm able to record when I give away CDs and things. I can record them calling in and a little bit of chit-chat back and forth, throw in the weather, the current conditions, quickly edit the MP3. Email it to the engineer on duty. He drops it into the system and plays it, and it sounds like I'm there.
Now let's back up a minute. There's a guy at the radio station while you're on.
He is in charge of four radio stations, making sure they stay on the air and they're running right and that type of thing.
And on Sunday you pre-recorded your show, but you announce a CD giveaway.
Right.
And during the next song, someone calls in.
Record
them.
I number three on the Smooth Jazz Line.
Whatever.
Give the phone number, and I take the call, and I record our conversation, and then I edit it down to a short piece, and
email it to the engineer there.
Email it to him. He takes it, puts it onto their computer system, puts the appropriate code numbers against it, and drops it in at the end of the next stop set.
That's pretty amazing in and of itself.
It's really pretty cool.
It really is very cool. Now, how many times during your three-hour show do you do this? Once or twice. So you alert him that you're fixing to, that he's got an email coming, and he goes and grabs it, and that's amazing. Of course, you could, I suppose you could, why couldn't you shoutcast it to him?
Too much delay with the digital processing that goes on. There's just too much delay, and I would not know when to start and stop. And there may come a time when we can do that. I hope there will be a day we can actually do the show live. But at this point, I'm not sure how we can pull that off.
Because the shoutcast converts it to digital, then sends it to their computer, and they would and so the conversion time or the internet time just takes too long.
The internet time, and then the actual time when the analog signal from the studio is converted to digital and transmitted back out, it would be way too difficult to time it out and pull that type of thing off.
Yeah, but it's just a shame that there's no way. Of course, the other way would be ISDN, if you could afford that stuff.
Right.
But that's
I think there will be a day that will come when I will actually be able to truly do a live show. But the advantage of doing it ahead of time, I can edit myself and clean things up and make me sound like I'm a real knowledgeable pronosticator.
And then there's another, and I can't remember that I've got an engineering friend who is feeding his transmitter 30 miles away with some kind of a new stereo composite unit, but I think it also has some delay in it.
They all do.
I can't remember exactly what it is. But
this is the challenge for these radio stations now that are beginning to transmit on digital. is that there's an automatic 7 to 8 second delay built in. So if they are doing remote broadcasts, they almost can't do them because there's no on-air monitor anymore. You can't flip over and listen to your on-air signal because it's not what you're going to be hearing. It's
yeah,
going to be 7 to 8 seconds later than what you hear.
Which is what I always listened to when I was on the air. I always listened off the air.
Oh, always had the on-air monitor up.
Because if you don't, you don't get the processing. You can't hear what the processing is doing, and you want to.
But now they can't do that with this with the digital transmitters and everything. It's all
delayed. Yeah, and I guess you know that you got to have stereo to do this jazz thing. So you'd have to have two of whatever, or some sort of a composite deal where a pilot carrier or something. But there ought to be a way in 2006. There ought to be a way you could do this from your house.
Well,
there's got to be. I'm thinking we'll put it out there. Maybe somebody will come up with something. But and so you burn them a CD, an MP3 CD, and they play the CD. They have a CD player there that'll play, or they just put it in the computers.
They put it onto their computer system, and I just give them the actual show content. They play all of the jingles. They play all of the commercials.
Okay.
And I don't have to worry about any of that at all.
So you got a guy actually sitting there running the board. I mean, he's...
No, it's all done on the computer.
Well, it's all done on the computer, but he has to... Oh, okay, so you don't put any codes in, they do.
No, they handle all of that. It's all put in by Wednesday or Thursday for the Sunday show. It's already on their system, programmed with all the commercials that need to play, and it just sits there and runs.
But all you give them is your audio, your program content. They put in the commercials.
They put in the commercials. I give them all of the music and my talking, and they do the rest.
Well, that's pretty cool. How long have you been doing this?
That started in November of 2003.
Oh, okay. All right. So about 3 years, a little over 3 years, right?
Not quite three.
And that after you got through with the severe weather thing, that sort of took the place of that. So that kept your hand in radio, didn't it?
Right, that and continuing the show on ACB Radio Interactive between those two, that is it. And from time to time, I will do a country show on ACB Radio, but not on a regular basis.
I didn't. What would you play? Oldies country or what?
A mix. A mix of more classic country than current. Too much of the current stuff is rock and roll people that want to play country.
Yep.
I think they want to play like country people, and I just, no, thank you. But more classic than not, and the show that I did from time to time was called Country Legends.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun doing it, but it just between my job and doing the real radio stuff, there's just not enough for me to stretch around.
Earning a living, making real money.
Yes.
Just not enough time. I don't know. I've thought about doing. I'm the same way. I don't have time now that I'm doing these two things, and what else I do. But I wouldn't mind doing. I did classic country on the radio here forever. Here locally, actually, we bought time. We bought 3 hours a day and did it from the house. I had a board because we're on AM, so we can feed them on a phone line, equalized phone line.
Right.
And so we did. They gave it to us at one time. They gave it to us at 10:30 in the morning, and we kept it till 3 that afternoon at one time.
That's a good one.
Little AM radio station. We started doing a program called Tradio, which they said wouldn't work, and it worked so well they took it away from us. Which, is okay. I'm probably not mad. If he walks up the driveway, I'll probably shoot him dead. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Radio makes you do that.
It does. The other thing that's going to be happening is that we're in the beginning phase of the rollout of high-definition digital radio.
We are. Nobody knows about it.
Not much yet.
Except the radio, except the audio files.
The thing that's going to be happening is as it rolls out, and Wichita, Kansas is one of the few markets that Clear Channel is in, that is in the first phase of rollout, and they were selected because of the quality of the studio facilities that they have here. And, of course, my best friend's one of their engineers, so I kind of feel proud about that. But nonetheless, each FM station will have, on the digital side, they'll have a simulcast of their current analog signal. They will have a second full stereo high-fidelity channel. And in my case, the... for B98, that second channel is going to be smooth jazz. And then the third channel will be a low bandwidth mono channel that will mainly be used for news and talk and interviews and community programming and that kind of thing. So all of their stations will have all of these different channels that they will be able to put different formats on. The country station is going to go classic country, and I can't remember what the other two are going to do on their main channel.
Now, you're saying that they have, I thought they only had four streams. They have five. There'll be five digital streams with the new.
There'll actually be three digital. There'll be a simulcast of their analog signal that they have today.
Well, that would have to be two channels.
Well, if you want to call them channels, I just call them an actual station.
Well, but
they'll have the simulcast. They'll have a second full fidelity channel or radio station.
Stereo
and
radio
then
station.
The smaller analog low bandwidth channel.
Boy, now I'm really confused.
So basically, they're going to have three radio stations on their FM digital side that people will be able to listen to. And that's true for each of their radio stations.
If you had a receiver that would receive.
If you had a receiver, and that is the catch.
Now, will they continue to broadcast in their analog mode that they are broadcasting in now?
Yes.
So all of this digital information will be somewhere above 20,000 hertz or something?
I think it will be. I'm still very ignorant on this whole process. One of the things that they think is going to be real big is the fact that the text information that will be able to be transmitted over the radio to these new digital receivers, giving song titles, artist name, album, traffic information, weather, stuff that won't be able to be accessible to us at all, is supposed to be big and exciting. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But what's going to happen is a lot of these stations are going to come on around the country, and they're going to broadcast these digital signals mainly with music, no commercials, and who knows how long it's going to take for receivers to get out there to where these will become real radio stations with live announcers and you know, actually doing what radio does.
Yep.
But it's going to take a while to convince John Q. Public to spend $200, $300, $400, whatever on a radio.
Well, unless they start, and surely this is thought of, they're going to start putting them in cars. Whereas when you buy the 07 whatever SUV, you'll have this digital.
It'll be an option.
It'll be an option because they're all the new high end cars now have either XM or Sirius. So we're fixing to trade our, what do we have, a Tahoe. And we've looked at several. And all the high-end stuff, the SUVs, the better cars have either Sirius or XM. And in the case of Sirius, they'll give it to you free for a year. If you buy a Chrysler product, they'll give you Sirius free for a year. And, of course, I figure then they've got you hooked on satellite radio.
Sure. And you can listen to Howard.
Well, you can if you're a sicko. You can. I have Sirius. In fact, I have both. I have XM and Sirius, and I've gone down and listened. It's
filth.
It's just filth, and it's just ignorant. I mean, it's just schoolboy, high school humor. It's even worse than guys around a campfire, you know? It's just stupid.
It will be interesting to see what happens with these digital channels if they do something exciting with them or if they just continue with the humdrum...
Playing music.
...stuff that's being generated by so many radio stations today.
Well, I think when we look back on this year, these years, 2006, 2005, maybe even 2007, we're going to see this in 2012 or later on as a learning period, because I'm not sure that terrestrial radio as we know it can survive.
It can.
You know, I don't see, you know, I don't listen to the local radio stations anymore because I can get the music commercial free on XM or Sirius, either one. Why would I want to listen to some idiot disc jockey when I don't have to?
Well, of course, for me, I like to listen to smooth jazz, and the only way I can do that right now is to listen to it on the Internet.
Well, see, that wouldn't be true if you had satellite radio.
Except at the office, I wouldn't be able to do anything about that because I'm in the middle of a building on the first floor. I have no windows.
You'd
not only can
trouble.
I not even hear regular radio.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
There's not a smooth jazz station in Wichita?
No, not anymore. We had one for about 3 years, and then it changed format.
Because that's a format that'll work. Of course, in Houston, there are 26 or 27, depending on what day it is, FM signals serving that market, not counting the public radio stations, the University of Houston and Rice University and all. Not counting them, there are 27 commercial signals serving the city of Houston. So they can't all play either country or rock. So Houston's got a full C jazz station. They call it the Wave. And
the problem with the smooth jazz is if management will stand behind it and work the format and work the station and give it respect, it'll make them money. It'll make them ratings.
It will.
But so often they treat it as a stepchild, and they just ruin them.
Well, this station was country. In fact, it was the old KIKK, Kick in Houston radio, which was a big country station. And about 2 years ago, they went smooth jazz, and they're in the top 10, 12-plus. I understand nobody buys 12-plus ratings, but they also have a country oldie station in Houston, 97.1. It's not licensed to Houston, but it puts a full city-grade signal over most of the city. So, you know, you can make money with both those formats now. And I'm really surprised in Wichita there's not a smooth jazz. How many FMs are there in Wichita?
Oh, I don't know. There's somewhere probably around 15.
Yeah.
I've lost track.
Yeah, you do. You tend to do that. But I don't know. It seems to me also that NPR is making major gains in terms of visibility, in terms of listenership, in terms of better programming, or do you don't do NPR?
We've got two NPR affiliates that are listenable in the market, one here in Wichita and one to a small town to the north and west that has a good signal into the market.
Do you listen to them at all?
Actually, the only thing I do with NPR is I subscribe to a handful of podcasts that are NPR produced.
Well, of course, that's a coming thing also is, you know, pretty soon we're going to have anything you want, anytime you want it.
Radio on demand.
Radio on demand, television on demand, anything you want on demand. So what's that going to do to the guy with his radio station sitting there playing 20 records an hour and running 18?
It's going to further fragment the listening audience. And it's what I think it's going to do. It's going to force some of these radio stations to reevaluate what they're doing, how they're doing it. And the only way they're going to succeed is local content, news, weather, traffic. Be a part of the city.
Why else would you listen to local radio if you didn't get?
That's the whole point. And
local.
That's the only way that they're going to survive is to become a local radio station again.
I agree. It'll be interesting. 5 years from now, we'll be looking at the same thing. All right, sir, I guess we'll go and let you get back to banking or whatever you are whatever you're doing for those folks today. You're in charge of their telephone system, right?
Right. I do. I administer that. I'm the voice on the automated banking line where you call in and over the telephone and it gets your balance in your account and your checks that have cleared and all that fun stuff.
So you record liners for them.
Yes.
In fact,
I'm in the process of recording a whole new set because we're getting ready to upgrade the system, and I've got about 1,500 words and phrases that have to be recorded.
Really? And so rather than use a synthesized voice, they're having you record them?
Yes.
That's good. But here's the thing. When the guy gets actual numbers, those would be synthesized, right?
Actually, on our current system, I speak them. On the new system, they will be a human voice, but they will be a canned predefined set of recordings for numbers only. I'll speak everything else.
You'll do everything else, but it would be hard because, you know, you couldn't speak every number. You just have to speak individual 7, 3, 5, 2.
Actually, you don't. In the current system, I'll make this quick because I know we're running short on time.
We've got time. Go ahead.
In the current system, there are approximately 500 words or phrases that make up the numbers. $1, $2, $3, and then you add 1 cent, and 2 cents, and 3 cents. And you record all these, and it puts them all together, and doesn't sound too bad.
So you actually physically say $134.
Actually, if I was saying $134.15, for example, it would pick up the phrase 100, the phrase 34,
yeah,
and then the word dollars, and then the phrase and 15 cents. So we'd put them all together.
So you said every number and 16 cents,
right?
And 17 cents. And 18 cents.
And if you don't think that was a challenge to record all those and to keep up the same pace, the same volume, the same intonation.
Well, it would be, but putting them in the computer would be a tremendous, you know, because one little mistake and we were in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be a challenge to keep it all exactly the same. Now, you're doing these on a computer.
I am doing them in my studio at my house, right where I do my radio shows.
Oh, you're doing them at your house. And then you're going to bring all this information to the bank.
Right. Basically, they wind up in WAV files and converted to some weird, bizarre settings that I have to have them at. And I just burn them to CD, and I bring them in here and give them to the technical people and say, have fun.
Oh, you burn them to CD.
Right.
So you don't have anything to do with them with putting them in the...
No.
In the,
no, once they're on the CD, the WAV files are named appropriately, and the system is programmed to recognize those WAV files in their particular name, and that's all you have to do.
Of course, most places just use the synthesized. And, you know, I guess Sears is synthesized. That's the only one I deal with because I have a lawnmower that I have to book. I have a maintenance agreement on a lawnmower that I have to call them. And actually, if it's a synthesized voice, it's damn good. It's good as I've ever heard, because you can tell that you're not talking to a person, but you can't. My father-in-law, bless his old heart, the NOAA Weather Radio is using such a good voice. He argued with me the other day. He said the ID, because the ID they're using is an old jaw. It's like Eloquent's voice. The new voice they're using is so good that he said, no, that's somebody, you know.
Nope.
And that's where we want to be.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Listen, I think one thing I didn't ask you. What time is your jazz show on ACBRI?
The jazz show on ACBRI is on Tuesday evening, and it's at 23 hours universal, which converts to in standard time, 5 p.m. Central, 6 in the east, 4 in the mountains, and 3 out west.
Yeah.
And, of course, in daylight time, it moves an hour later.
Yeah.
But it's called Smooth Jazz USA. My webpage is www.jazznotes.net. Archives are there and all kinds of information about our newsletter we do once a week. And it's a fun show.
Now, just real quick, what's in your newsletter?
Basically, I tell people what the albums are we'll be featuring, the new releases, the top 5 songs on the Smooth Jazz chart, headlines of some of the stories that will be in Smooth Jazz News, because there's each hour there's about a 2 to 2.5 minute Smooth Jazz newscast, and just a handful of other Smooth Jazz News related stories, just whatever I come up with.
And you can go to the website and subscribe to that newsletter if you want it.
Yes, sir.
What the website one more time?
www.jazznotes.net.
www.jazznotes.net. And on that note, sir, we'll let you get back to work. Steve, thank you very much. I'll let you know when we run this, be 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Steve. Keep on keeping on.
Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping their big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Well, Brother Steve, our radio guy, and we are working, talking with him about doing some things for us here on Blind Like Me. Always have been looking for a long time for somebody to do our little feature we used to have called On the Blind Side, where we looked at something kind of unusual or that a blind person was doing. Got a lot of those from Blind World. We need to have that fellow on. I can't remember his name, but we contacted him that does the Blind World. So I believe it's just blindworld.com or .org or .something. Anyway, there's a lot of articles that have been written in newspapers about different blind people doing things, and put those together, and we call it On the Blind Side. We're looking for somebody to do that. Maybe we can talk Steve into doing that for us. Let me remind you, we're having a gathering in November, November 3rd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and go home Monday, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and go home on Monday the 6th. We'd love to have you come. We'll be starting to take reservations March 1st. And the hotel is the Sheraton North in Houston. We hope you will all think about coming. Start saving your money now. You'd have everything done. Our registration fee is $25 per person. Rooms are, I think, 72 plus tax. Of course, the restaurants are all there, and they're like other hotels. They're all too expensive, but they're good places to eat, so you could go there and spend the entire weekend, never have to leave. And we're going to play Name That Tune on Sunday afternoon. We won't have any motivational speakers that'll make you feel bad about your life. Just going to have fun, play a lot of music at night, record a Blind Like Me show and a Blind Handyman. So plan on joining us in November. We'll tell you more about that later. I'm Phil Fry. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, 936-634-9500 is my phone number, or philparr.net. Pardon me, phil@philparr.net. phil@philparr.net. Or philparr@consolidated.net. Phil Parr at Consolidated will also do it, okay? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on Blind Like Me.